Today we have a special edition of Off the Cuff. Roll the music. Welcome everyone to a very special edition of Off the Cuff. Not really a long episode. It's not what you are going to be expecting, you know, episode two. I was by myself. It was a good 25-minute episode, but today I have a very special guest. He has, I believe, two podcasts of his very own. I am joined with Christian Oates. Christian, you ready to talk some basketball today?
You know, basketball is my favorite sport, and I love talking about it with people, and I'm very excited to talk about it with you on your second episode. So first real guest, is that what the situation is?
Well, we had Colin on episode one. Episode two was just me by myself. This is kind of a special edition episode where we're going to be recapping the contract buyout of Blake Griffin. So earlier today, the Pistons did buy out Blake Griffin's contract. The Pistons currently sit last place in the Eastern Conference. They're the worst team by three games. The team that's in 14th is the Magic. They're 13-23, and just kind of to rub Pacers fans the wrong way, they were fourth in the East. They're now down to 10th in the East. But that's not the point. Blake Griffin contract got bought out by Detroit today. And Christian, we kind of know who the three teams are: Brooklyn and the Clippers and the Lakers. You read a report today, and I read the same report as well. Brooklyn are the current favorites for Blake Griffin. And, you know, it's interesting because I really thought after that James Harden trade they didn't have any more cap, because they're paying DeAndre Jordan a good amount. To be honest, I mean, it's kind of hard to know who the rest of the roster is for Brooklyn because they traded a lot of their key assets. Dinwiddie's hurt, so he's not there anymore right now. Durant, Kyrie, and Harden and DeAndre Jordan, I mean, that takes up so much cap. You take in Dinwiddie, who's probably making about $15 million and is supposed to make more in the upcoming years. I don't know how they can afford him unless he takes like a minimum wage contract.
And honestly, with Blake Griffin, he is later in his career. He still does have a lot in the tank. And the list that you mentioned, Lakers, Clippers, Nets, it's obvious that he's ring chasing. You know, say it how you want. He is looking for a championship. He didn't get it with those Lob City Clippers, which were a great team that didn't have the opportunity. But Blake Griffin is at the point in his career where he is looking for a title. And either of these teams are the right way, but the Nets, I believe they made enough moves to where they can sign him for a low contract and get him at a great value.
Yeah, I mean, getting Blake Griffin at a minimum would be, I mean, that would be crazy. That'd be so huge. and I've already said it, you know, everyone, you know, the Nets were my favorite at the start of the year. And since the James Harden trade, granted, yeah, they're second in the East now because of this, I don't think they're the favorites anymore. They were my favorites. I'm a Lakers fan. I told you guys in episode two, and I believe episode one, I'm a diehard Cowboys fan. I'm a diehard Lakers fan. My first ever game was Lakers-Celtics 2009. Ooh. All right? I've been a Lakers fan when I first got interested into basketball. But I think Brooklyn was good, but I feel like they're not the favorites anymore because of their depth. I mean, I realize you have three 20-point guys, and James Harden can give you 40 points whenever he feels like it, whether he weighs 400 pounds or 100 pounds. But, I mean, they just don't have the depth, and I feel like that's what's going to hurt them against a team like a Toronto Raptors or maybe even an Indiana Pacers when they get Caris LeVert. I feel like their depth's going to hurt them, so Blake Griffin wouldn't be a bad get. And I don't know. I think you have his stats pulled up. I pulled up Griffin's stats right now. He's averaging 12 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. Is that what you got?
Yeah, I believe so. And just looking at how he performed before, he was set on teams in a bad position where he sort of had to succeed. But he's always had help. But being put on the Nets now adds depth to the team and also gives him a chance to shine. And I'm not exactly sure how much longer KD is going to be out. But this is definitely a position for an opportunity for the Nets to fill in the gap while he's gone.
Yeah.
And Blake Griffin will still have a great position and great chance on the team to show that he still has it.
And, I mean, looking at Blake Griffin right now, Christian, you look at his, like, starting with his rookie career, a lot of Blake Griffin stats, it's hard to tell when he kind of declined. I mean, at the same time, it's not. But, I mean, there's points in his career where he was injured. So his rookie year, he got hurt, only 13 points. That's not what a rookie Blake Griffin was going to average if he wasn't hurt. But then the next year, 22, 20, dipped off to 18. But I'm assuming that's probably, you know, when Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan, and I think they even got more help in, what year was that, 2012, 2013, went back up to 24, then consistent 21s for 2014, 15, and 16. 2017 was pretty much his final half stint in L.A. where he was averaging when he went to 22. When he got traded to Detroit in 2017, it dropped off to 19. 2018 was his best year with the team when he had 24 points. And then 2019, he had 15. And this year, currently, he has 12. So, I mean, really for Blake, it's up, down, up, down, up, down. But I guess you can say in the last 2 years, this year and 2019, last year and this year, you've seen a recent decline, a major decline at that.
And when you look at that, I mean, you just got to think about the Pistons, and they've just, ever since I've really been a big fan of basketball, the Pistons haven't really been much. They've been, they've been what the Pacers used to be. Now the Pacers are on the increase, but, you know, the Pistons are just always there, one of the teams that you can beat up on. They haven't had too many good years.
Man, it's either them or the Magic that have that eighth seed every year.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at it, I mean, Andre Drummond, you know, they traded him, and Drummond looks great in Cleveland. I mean, Cleveland looks good, but that's, once again, you'll hear a lot of NBA talk on episode 3. This is really a special edition episode. Episode 3, we're going all into NBA. You definitely don't want to miss that one. Check out episode 1 and 2 as well. Quick plug for those two episodes.
Nice.
Both great episodes. But yeah, I think Brooklyn is the choice. You know, we just kind of talked about what would Brooklyn be. I think Brooklyn would even be a better championship contender than they are now. They'd probably be, you know, now, I mean, those odds as the favorite in the East just go up a little higher when you add 12 points, 5 rebounds, shooting about 36% from field goal range. Not the greatest, but also not the worst. Blake Griffin, I also want to say this. He's probably one of the only players. I mean, he was known for his dunks, being flashy and everything else. He's developed into, like, an ISO player. He can take shots. Like, I know you've probably seen the video on Instagram. He kind of hit that crossover, step back three. Mm-hmm. He's kind of turned into an ISO player. Not as much as, like, you know, Carmelo Anthony, who's known for his ISOs, but that's where he's getting his points now from. So I wonder, is that going to help Brooklyn with, you know, they're already pretty much of an ISO team? James Harden's ISO ball has already kind of gotten into that team. Now everyone kind of, but they can create points with that. I wonder how much of his change of play into an ISO player is going to hurt or help this team.
Well, I think one of the big things you got to look at, Blake Griffin is a 6-time All-Star. And what people see as his, quote, prime was back with the Clippers with the Lob City era.
Yeah.
And now the league is shifting to a dynamic where stretch big sort of dominate. You got Joel Embiid shooting some threes now. You got Nikola Jokic, Karl-Anthony Towns. Those players are dominating with their size and the ability to not only dominate inside the paint, but also stretch out and do some work. So Blake Griffin, he had to evolve his game for that. But yeah, now doing it in a great fashion.
And I think you can say it was an evolve he was not ready for, and he just kind of had to, I can't find the right word, but I think you know what I mean. Like, he had to, like, kind of had to go to his trainer and be like, look, all this, you know, I'm not, you know, my knees aren't the same as they used to be. I have to start shooting the basketball. And, you know, and he's gotten decent with it. 15 points last in 2019, 12 points in 2020, and now this year still at 12 points. I think I'm getting his stats wrong because it says 2020, but I mean, oh, weren't they not at the bubble?
Pistons, no.
Okay. Not that I know of. All right. Yeah, that makes a lot more sense. So, yeah, 12 points. He's had 12 points. You count this year and last year.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of confusing because, I mean, it's the 2021 season, right?
Yeah, they call it 2020-2021. So 20-21.
Okay. It's just confusing because, like, I don't, okay, I'm just, he has 12 points. That's all everyone needs to know. He has 12 points, 5 rebounds, and 3 assists currently right now. Let's go ahead and move away from Brooklyn. A little bit of time left here. Let's go to the Lakers. Man, I don't know how to feel. And I mean, everyone's kind of been saying it. The Lakers, I said this in the offseason, the Lakers reloaded while the Clippers imploded.
First of all, that's a good rhyme.
I think the Clippers, they lost a lot of key stars, including, you know, the first shot in the Los Angeles Wars, Montrezl Harrell jumping ship over to the Lakers. I think that was a huge get. Losing Danny Green was a huge loss. I mean, you can still be mad at him for a finals, but I mean, hey, not every dog has their worst day and every dog has their day. So, but I feel like the Lakers got better and I feel like the Clippers have gotten worse. So I feel like, you know, it would benefit the Clippers more, but the Lakers, people keep saying they're one more player away all of a sudden. What do you think on that?
Well, with the Lakers, you know, one of the things that I feel like a lot of people aren't really talking about, they've always said LeBron can't do much without Anthony Davis, but the Lakers are still sitting at third in the West. So, obviously, with Davis gone, they are going to need some help. You know, that's a constant thing. But Blake Griffin is another player dynamic, but I'm not exactly sure how that lineup would look, you know. Is LeBron at the three, or I know he can play every position
now. LeBron's at the three. I don't remember their lineup as well as I usually do.
Because then they can pop Blake Griffin at power forward.
And you got Blake Griffin, Harrell, and AD. That's why I wish we never... That's why I wish the Lakers would have never traded JaVale. I loved JaVale as a player.
He's really developed so much.
JaVale is such a good player, and he's only helped Cleveland. Cleveland has such a good... Like, they're talking about trading Drummond. I'm like, you've got Jared Allen, JaVale McGee, and Andre Drummond. That is so good. I'd love that. I love big man players. I mean, it shows on the broadcast with Donald Coates. I mean, people talk about how the big man game was kind of dying. It's honestly, it's one of the most important pieces to a roster. You ain't got a big man, you're not gonna do well in the rebounding area of things.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like, you know, Blake Griffin would be a huge get for this team, but the Clippers, I think the Clippers needed a lot more than the Lakers do.
Yeah, the Clippers, they definitely do need it. You know,
they are sitting fourth in the West.
So that's still crazy, but everybody needs help. That's the one thing you got to look at, I think.
So I think I think to kind of round it all out here, Brooklyn, it looks like he's probably going to Brooklyn. I'd say right now it's probably Brooklyn, then the Clippers, then the Lakers. If I had to go from, you know, Blake's perspective, you've got the championship favorite, and then you've got the team he used to play for, and then you've got, you know, the Lakers because they're the Lakers.
And I think, you know, one of the main reasons why he's probably looking at Brooklyn is to get him set up in the East. You know, the 76ers are doing really well this year, which is surprising for me. But
I mean, not even the Sixers. The Jazz and the Suns are the top two teams in the West, but I even said it on my Instagram. I said the Suns will be a top three team in the East, and I had people talk about, oh, the Mavericks. And I was like, well, the Mavericks are eighth in the West. People are like, you have the Mavericks, you have the Warriors. I was like, I don't care. Chris Paul is going to elevate Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton to levels that we haven't seen. And I was right about it. They're second in the West, just recently passing the Lakers. So I think to round this all out, Christian, I appreciate you for joining me. The Nets need him because of debt, without a doubt, no question. The Clippers, they probably just need extra help. And the Lakers, from what most analysts are saying, are one more guy away from matching the Nets. Because, I mean, KD, Kyrie, and Durant combined is about 70 points put together.
And it's probably the Nets because, you know, all the other teams that he was looking at, and the West is so strong this year, so he definitely wants to go to the finals because he hasn't been in that position before. So if you're on the Nets, I wouldn't say guarantees, but compared to the competition, the other competition over in the East, it most likely guarantees him a spot in the finals rather than if he went to the Lakers or battling against Utah, Phoenix, the Clippers.
Yeah.
The Blazers have a good chance this year. Like, there's so much more competition in the
West than the East.
Exactly.
And, hey, you know what? That's a perfect way to round it out. If you want to get in the conversation on any Off the Cuff episode, go ahead, follow my Twitter at Zaiah_04. That's Zaiah_04 to get into the conversation and debate. You know, me, yourself, you probably will lose, but hey, we'll see what happens. Make sure to stay tuned for episode 3 and another special edition based on Formula 1, which should be coming very, very soon. To hear other episodes of the Off the Cuff podcast, make sure you guys go to WEDMFM.com. Thank you guys for joining me for this special edition on Blake Griffin's contract getting bought out by the Detroit Pistons.